y'all. If you guys like what we're doing on the podcast, please, please, please go to our iTunes and you can give us a 5-star rating, leave a review. It helps us so much so that we can reach other people so that you have more friends to play with when you go onto our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you so much. Remember, iTunes, hit them fives. We love you. Bye.
Tights and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Al, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Vibes Podcast. Tights and Vibes.
We're gonna sit and talk some wrestling. The three of us are talking.
The podcast where we talk wrestling. Mike, Danielle, and Hal. The podcast is called Tights and Fights.
I'm so offbeat right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the bold standard, Hal Lublin. And I'm joined in the booth by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the world's strongest stan, Danielle Radford.
What up?
Mm.
And the man who's worth at least 10 million Eva Maries.
That's right.
Mike Eagle. Coming up on this week's show, a zig when we expected a zag, an angry Uncle Foley, a ton of tag teams, and a lot more. So let's dive right in and talk about the New Day. They were definitely the focus of Raw this week as they became the longest reigning WWE
World Tag Team Champions.
Now, we've praised and criticized the New Day on this show, and they got over as one of the most bankable acts on Raw, but these lengthy title reigns are hard for anyone to sustain while keeping the entertainment levels as high as possible. So, Mike, now that we're here and the records have been marked, let's take a look back. How do you feel about the overall body of work that the New Day has put into this title
reign? I feel like they did so much for it on Monday that it just made, like, the last three excruciating months feel just fine. I feel like they really have, like, well, the first thing is, and I don't know if did Xavier, like, lose his grandmother recently or something?
I don't know but either. That made me real sad.
That was the baby faces shit I've ever seen in
really
my life.
Was.
Like, I was just there with him all night from that point forward when he talked about people who aren't here anymore and shouted out grandma. I'm like, I'm there. Like I never want to see them lose ever again now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to go through the night they had too, winning those matches, those 2 3-ways. I just thought it was an incredible performance by them all night. And they earned about another 5-6 months of me being on board.
Oh, wow.
Just for Monday.
You know what? I'm with you on that. And here's the thing. Like, if you go back and try to point out weak points in their reign, I think that's due to them, not the booking of them, but the fact that the whole division was just the New Day and a bunch of other teams who would take turns getting beaten. They never really did a good job, I think, of building up anybody as a legitimate threat. Even the Wyatts, they went in sort of a weird direction with it. So when you don't have a division of teams that are constantly vying for a championship, and even SmackDown, which hasn't done the world's greatest job now, they at least you get the feeling that all those teams are constantly scrambling for position to try and knock off whoever the champs are. So without that, they've still shined because they're all so great as personalities, as talkers, and they sort of built and lived off their goodwill. But I agree with you. Last night was, I went like, oh, am I really excited about the New Day again, face or heel?
Me and my wife was like hollering every time there was a near fall because we wanted them to win so bad.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, you know, you're pulling in the wife. You're doing a good job. Good job, wrestling.
Wow, you did it.
Yay, wrestling.
Without Danielle's help. So Danielle. So we saw the club, 2/3 of the Shield, Sheamus and Cesaro, and Jericho all fail to knock off the New Day. So once their title reign does come to an end, who do you think should end it? Would it be somebody who's already on the roster? Do you see an NXT team that you think should come in and take the belts? What do you do? Book it.
You know, it's I definitely know that as much as I love Jericho and as much as I love Cesaro and shit, like, it's got to be, I want it to be an actual tag team and not just two people who are thrown together. I would love if it was a team coming up from NXT that could come and kind of knock them off. Because then you have the whole story of, like, you guys have been complacent because you've been winning, but now we're here and we've been watching you and, you know, we've been paying attention and we know where your weak spots are and blah, blah, blah. And you can do it in such a way where it doesn't denigrate any of the other teams, in as much as it shows the strength of having someone who is a tag team, and the difference between that and two superstars who happen to wrestle tag team matches.
But isn't it so funny how on Monday they had to, in the original three-way tag match, it was a New Day and the Club and Sheamus and Cesaro, mm-hmm. which is the only, I mean, other than Enzo and Big Cass, that's the entire division of tag teams on Raw.
Of big ones. There are others, but you don't even remember them.
Exactly.
And that's a problem.
And then later in the show as the main event, to raise the stakes, they had to put a bunch of singles guys together because that's how weak the tag division is right now.
Yeah. Yep, that for sure says something. And, like, I get getting Jericho Owen because, come on, like, you're going to have them in. If that's the match of the night, like, you want to have them in to make sure that you have that hook, and that does raise the stakes. But, yeah, that shows where the tag team division on Raw is right now, that they had to beef it up because could nobody think of who else there could, what was the Shining Stars going to come from Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
And when they're done selling their timeshares in Puerto Rico or whatever, and, like, come back and wrestle this match.
Well, and I think what you were talking about before, about a team coming up, you're obviously talking about the Revival, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the team that comes in. And yeah. here's, like, I don't, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't like the Revival on Raw because that's what Gallows and Anderson are supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And they even look they're bald guys. Aren't they both bald?
I think
or am I just thinking of Dawson twice?
Yeah, right. I think Wilder's got a little hairs, I think.
A little 10,
yeah.
little baby.
Hairs,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, no, in my, if I'm booking it, then I move the Club over back with AJ.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah. Those dudes are great. They paid their dues. They've kicked ass all over Japan. But, like, they didn't have enough time with AJ for the Club to feel like the dominating thing it was supposed to be. It was too much of that, well, you liked us in New Japan, so you'll like us here. And it's like, nope, different audience. Like, you gotta do that thing.
Right, right.
They needed to win the tag belts.
Yes.
And they're not being booked to do so has just froze them in time.
Yeah.
There's just nothing you can really do with them now because they should have won.
Absolutely.
Yep. Move them to SmackDown, put them with AJ Bay.
Yep. On that note, The New Day also posted a recent picture with the team, along with Sasha Banks and Rich Swann, holding their respective titles with the hashtag Black Excellence. And we don't need to get super into the kerfuffle that this got some folks into, because why dignify it with a response? And if it's kerfuffle, is that the whitest word I could have used to possibly describe?
It seems like there was a kerfuffle on the internet. These guys got to a real scrap.
let me ask both of you, what does the phrase Black Excellence mean to you?
Well, but what Black Excellence has always meant is it's a way to, like, highlight when someone from the Black community does something that is excellent and dope.
Okay.
That's literally all it is. It's a way of being like, you know, a lot of people, have historically not talked about how dope Black folks are or can be. And a lot of people like to do that thing where they share fake statistics about Black folks. I won't name names or presidents, but it has happened. So just Black Excellence is a way of being like, we're out here and we're doing awesome things. And especially the way that it relates to WWE, because we all recognize that WWE has had some for realsy problems with race and with their dealing of their Black superstars. You know, I mean, that whole thing where they, Booker's whole run up for the title, whole thing, and that would have worked. If Triple H would have lost, then that would have worked. But in the end, it's like, oh, I guess he really isn't good enough. So to have that moment where so many of the champs on Raw are Black and just have them be like, look, we're out here, we're doing stuff. It does represent a change in WWE. That picture was great. It made me really, really happy.
Mike?
I stand in solidarity with Danielle's answer completely.
And I stand behind and alongside the two of you. All right. Let's move on. From the team that can't lose to the guy who can't win, let's talk about Sami Zayn. This week, he threatened to defect to SmackDown unless GM Mick Foley gave him the match against Strowman that Foley had been denying him. Foley then said he'd be trading him for another talent of equal value. Let's hear it.
Daniel Bryan and I have agreed to trade you Sami Zayn, straight up, for Eva Marie.
Yes!
What?
Of course.
Yes!
Of course, hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, it turned out it was all a ruse, you guys. Another feels like a white, like yeah. a real, like, not, I mean, I'm not saying it's proprietary. But it just feels,
it's a real ruse, you guys. The kerfuffle led into a ruse.
Proprietary.
Led into a brouhaha.
Talking about it like it's herbs and spices.
Yeah, exactly. Who owns coriander? I have some words. Okay. But it turns out it was all a ruse. Foley just wanted to light a fire under Sammy. Let's hear it.
How bad do you want Strowman? Mitch! Give me Braun Strowman! Damn it! Give it to me! I'm going to tell you what I want, Sammy. I want you to remember this moment in time. Remember this moment in time. Remember how angry you feel. How bitter you feel. Remember the rage that dwells inside you. And I want you to be able to bottle it and duplicate it on Sunday night.
That's as long as I can hold
it. You're going to eat everything. You face Braun Strowman at Roadblock.
Well, there's the return of Angry Foley.
I want you to be able to put it in a bottle.
Wow. I want Braun Strowman.
Give me Braun Strowman. I want him.
Danielle, they clearly were angling for a long game here with Foley saying he just wanted to fire up Sammy to get him ready for Braun Strowman. I feel like you've already answered this via laughing. Did this work for you?
This was so dumb. I'm sorry. Like, the trading him for Eva Marie thing was funny, okay. But, like, not, I don't know if it was funny in the way that they meant it.
Yeah.
But just the whole, I need my WWE superstars to, like, do some vocal training, like, work the diaphragm, like, figure out a way that you can, like, take some classes with Stephanie, have them teach her how to do, because she got the fired, and, like, a way to say, it's like, I'm done with my superstars, like, I want Braun Strowman, like, okay. And that's not, I mean, you're like fighters. Like, you fight.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's like they all sound like kids who are like, I want He-Man. How come He-Man didn't come to my party? He's got Dolph syndrome. I can't do it.
Oh,
I can't.
Wow.
And also, how great would it have been if at the end they really did trade him for Eva Marie, which gave him the heat, gives Eva Marie some weird heat coming in, and then All Red, everything goes to the All Red show, and then Sammy can go away and be useful on SmackDown instead of whatever the fuck happened right then.
I did have a moment of like, I don't want Eva Marie to go to Raw. I was real, like, real upset. I don't know how I got pulled into that moment. I'm dumb. I know. I knew the answer. Mike,
yes.
The match has been set. It's happening this Sunday. They set a 10-minute time limit. What are your hopes for the match?
I don't know. I don't know at all. I have no idea how that's supposed to go. Braun wins, then why did you do this?
Mm.
Sammy wins, why did you build up Braun for 8 months?
I like that, though. I like the idea of if they're going to do a Davey and Goliath thing... Davey and Goliath. That's the dude with the doll.
He sounds so cute.
You know Jesus created gravity.
But if they're going to do David and Goliath thing, mm-hmm. then at least it's like, if you're going to have Sammy come back and do this comeback, he is the dude that I want to take down Braun Strowman.
I don't think he's... I think... I don't know. I feel like you got to keep Braun Strowman strong for, like, somebody that you plan on putting the world title on. And I don't think they plan on putting the world title on Sami Zayn.
But that's such a
I don't
fair
think
point.
They see him that way.
The story now, though, isn't whether or not he wins. The story is, this is a rodeo.
So they've already bought their way out of it.
Yeah.
Already...
yeah. He has to last 10. Nobody's lasted more than, I don't think, 90 seconds with him. I think they've set 2 minutes as the time limit. So for him to last 10 minutes, he doesn't need to win.
That's
he gets
true.
To he Braun Strowman is going to look like a monster.
That is a great call.
And yeah. then they're going to build Sammy up to look strong. I mean, think how many times Mick Foley lost and it made him stronger.
But look, what do they do after that?
Nothing. They don't have it planned out.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't write this show, Mike.
I'm sorry, I forgot. It looks so written sometimes. I just think they have a roadmap, and you're right. They don't.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know where he goes from there. I think it becomes about, hopefully, his quest for a title of some sort, whether it's the U.S. title and throwing some barrier after barrier. Mm-hmm. But this is where they benefit. Either show would benefit from a division. So you know that there are more than two or three people vying for any belt.
What division do you mean?
Exactly. If any of them. What do you mean? Any of them. Well, we'll get into that in a second. So let's move on right now. A final note from Raw before we look at SmackDown. Let me jump back for a second. Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens will tussle for the Universal title this Sunday. I don't think any of us would like to see Reigns hold two championships.
Fuck that dude.
But one thing we should look at is the U.S. title. Has Reigns, I mean, not even has, what's written here is, has he degraded its importance after Cena and Rusev worked hard to get it over? The answer is he hasn't, the booking has, because they've given him the belt and then sent him after another title.
Yep.
He's not defending it, it's not about the honor of holding that belt, it was when he was going after it, but even that wasn't about that belt, it was, I've already shoved your woman into a cake, now I'm going to embarrass you by taking your U.S. title, which means something to you. And then now it's this is another belt that has no division. Where are the young, hungry guys going after this belt?
Roman Reigns, Mike, though, and the booking of him puts a 50-pound chest protector weight on whatever he touches. Everything, it just goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's bringing Seth down in my eyes right now.
Ooh,
wow. He's the U.S. title's in a turlet, and it's not his fault.
In
a turlet. Now,
turlet.
It's not his fault. Like you said, it's the booking, but it's like, you know, as long as they refuse to turn him heel, he's going to be a black hole of charisma and energy. Okay? And they know this, so we're just waiting. And until then, everything he touches is going to turn to poop.
But it's also, what is his story? What is the story of Roman Reigns right now? What is the story they build around that makes you want to see him either hold a belt or chase a belt? Or see him lose a belt.
They're not gonna do it. But the story, you turn him heel.
Yes,
that's the story.
That's like, what you're gonna do.
You turn him, and he keeps and he hangs on to the European Championship.
Wow.
Whoa, I went back 20 years.
We sure did.
He holds onto the U.S. Championship, and while he does that, he goes after the other belts, and he's basically like, I don't even care about this. I don't even care about this. And I think that that's what you have him just blatantly be, and then have someone who's like, I do care about this. Like, this title means something. This title is this thing and that thing and that thing and the other thing and John Cena and blah, 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 and flags and pie and America. And have someone who is like, I care about this thing. And then have them fight it out and then have heel Roman get squashed and then have him go be an awesome, 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 awesome heel who we can't wait to see lose for whichever other title they would like.
I agree with that. I don't dislike it. This is what I would offer. First of all, I don't want to see Raymond Rones.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck
Rones.
That guy. Fuck Raymond Rones.
Raymond Rones is the worst.
I don't want to see Reigns with two titles. I do want to see him put in a position where he has to defend his belt in a triple threat match with Sami Zayn and pick a heel, not Braun Strowman. Somebody who's a viable heel who then wins the belt and puts Sammy on a chase. Because that him I think there's money in him chasing a title. And they proved that in NXT. There was a ton of money in him chasing the title. Keep it off of him for as long as possible. You get the payoff of him winning it, and then you figure out how to get it off of him. But that's my prescription. So let's move on to the Blue Brand. I love you, Blue Brand.
Bobby Blue Brand.
Bobby Blue Brand. Hey, it's me, Bobby Blue Brand. Hey, on SmackDown, women's champion Alexa Bliss continued her ability to be one of the best things going on a show by delivering this line to her opponent.
I don't do charity cases. No. No. And who do you even think you are? Jane Ellsworth? Whoa.
Bliss would dispatch her opponent and then eventually have to defend the title against Becky Lynch. Danielle, let me ask you something. It's always cool when there's some fun surprise on the live shows, but do you think WWE should forsake the surprise and generate some excitement that a title will be defended? I'm done with it. I promise that's the last
that's
of it.
That's so good.
Oh, it was so good, though. I once again, it's that thing where it's like, I know that they write the show like 2 seconds before the show. You know what I mean? Like, I know that that's how it is. And so part of me is, there's always that complaint, and I agree with that complaint, where it's like, how you just telling us that ain't none of these matches booked, and y'all are just coming up with it during the show. You got a whole thing full of people. But that is literally how they do it in real life.
Right.
I guess I would like it more if a surprise felt like a surprise and not like, well, they were probably going to book that thing anyway, but it's more fun if they call it a surprise. Or, mm-hmm. which happens a lot, because a lot of these surprises are like, oh, you mean the person that she just got the title off of is going to get a title shot? That's not a surprise.
Right, that's the clause in the contract.
Yeah, like that's literally in the contract. Like, that's how wrestling works.
Well, it's all, you don't
There's
have,
a name for it.
It's not the hardcore title where a match can happen at any point. You have to come out, it has to be in, you have to announce your intentions.
Right.
Somebody has to accept the match, and then it has to happen. But it doesn't even feel like a real surprise. You're just waiting. Once a match doesn't happen, you're waiting for somebody on the other side to come out and go, why don't we do it right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
In that case, and I'm hard-pressed, and I guess there's a bunch of examples of that, but I just didn't buy it. And as soon as Becky came out, I thought Becky was coming out a challenger for the next pay-per-view, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why would they waste a title match, an unannounced title match, on a random SmackDown?
I don't know, man. Ask Sasha.
Wow. Well, those are announced. Those are announced at least. At least they give us the benefit of trying to see if it moves the needle on the ratings at
yeah,
all.
True story. Right.
You know, and in this case.
Oh, which it does.
Yeah. So, I don't know. In this case, I just completely didn't buy it. Like, it's like, oh, okay. This feud is continuing. All right. You know?
Speaking of that, let's talk about number one contenders. Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, a.k.a. the Hype Bros, won a tag team battle royale to win the right...
Battle royale. What the hell is wrong with me?
Won a tag team battle royal, earning them the right...
You know, the French call it a royale with cheese.
What do they call Royal Rumble?
I don't know, man. They call it a rumble.
I don't know. They don't have January over there. So they've now earned the right to challenge the Wyatt family for the tag titles. But as we have recently learned, Zack Ryder suffered a knee injury during the match. And we don't know the extent of the injury, so let's just assume for now that the match is still on. How do you guys feel about the Hype Bros getting the rub?
It's fine. They are both really hard workers, and they've been doing this for like a long time. And Mojo Rawley sure does have a neck. I don't know.
He's got a lot of neck.
he got neck to spare.
Oh, tons of neck. Neck for days.
Spare necks. And everyone needs some neck. Maybe that's what happened to Nikki Bella. She just took some of his neck.
Okay.
So she can come back.
Got a couple stem cells out of his neck, mm-hmm. and then grew on neck back.
That's good.
And then he recovered neck immediately.
Of course. Immediately.
That's his power.
He don't get neck. He stays neck.
That's real.
I am ready to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Hopefully... maybe someone's dad will be involved. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Wouldn't it be great if Mojo Rawley just turned into a Wyatt?
Oh. Oh, a hype Wyatt. Oh, could he still be hype?
Yeah,
be a
he'd
Wyatt?
Have to still be hype.
Oh, that's his, I love that.
That's what he brings. He brings his hypeness to the Wyatt.
Wearing brown Zubaz.
We don't get buzzards. We stay buzzards.
Oh, shit. Fucking Hype Bros are over with me, man. I like them. Yeah. I like them because when they're on Talking Smack, they make me laugh a lot.
They're not a couple.
Yeah. And I like... That dancing, man, that Hammer Time dance. I'm here for the Hammer Time dance.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
It's so much.
It's so good. It's the exact right amount for me. It's the perfect amount. Like, that's the best way you can channel Mojo. Maybe that's what he would do as a Wyatt. He would just come out and, like, dance people. And, like, dance you into, right. like, submission.
Yeah. It's his spider walk.
His eyes would roll back into his head, and he would start Hammer Time. It'd be great.
Well, let's move on to the main event picture, where a fatal four-way between The Miz, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, and Dean Ambrose determined the number one contender to AJ Styles' championship. Now, it would have been interesting to see Harper or Miz in the main event picture, but why do that when you can go the least interesting route, and these are Julian's words, not mine, and throw Ziggler back in there? And I'll tell you why I said this, Julian. I put a very big note in the Google Doc, which is... Ziggler is the guy who for years people have been clamoring. He didn't get a long enough run in the main event scene. He should be a main eventer. Why are you putting him in the mid card? Why is he putting everybody else over? So now he gets to the main event, and he didn't have a great match with Dean Ambrose. Granted, that program I don't think was that great to begin with. Mm-mm. But now he's back in the main event for a rivalry which could work, and he's fresh off of a rivalry that went quite a while, but built up both guys. I think ultimately, I mean, who else do you want to see in this main event? So Mike, one of our listeners, Vince Riggle, suggested that this match could be a double turn.
What a big rig.
Far as you know, it is. Far as you know.
I am buying it.
It's not me wearing a fake mustache over my actual mustache and typing. I'll tell you that for sure. But he suggested this match could be a double turn. And do you think that's what needs to happen to make it interesting beyond the usual Dolph Ziggler loss? I mean, the guy's probably... We know he's likely not going to win. So how do you make it interesting?
I mean, I do hope he turns heel. I don't think it's a good opportunity for a double turn because I don't think AJ is... I don't think his heelness, like I said last week, is solidified yet. I feel like if he gets in that groove and has a ton of heat on him... And finds that right character and you know, turns it up, then, you know, we can get into the face turn stuff. I feel like if you turn him face right now, I don't even remember what face AJ looks like now. Right.
No beard. It's weird.
Oh, okay. He's barefaced. Yeah. And I don't know. Ziggler to me just has a mid-card stink on him. And I don't know how you get rid of it. Maybe a heel turn is how you get rid of it. Like a hard... crazy image change.
Yeah.
Heel turn. I still, to this day, I really feel like that man, and I don't, whenever it happens, it won't be soon enough. He needs to change his damn name. I really do. I feel like his name is a permanent obstacle to me being able to get down with him. I feel like it's just the dumbest thing. Like when I see it written, when I say it, when I hear it, I'm like, this is the dumbest combination of syllables they could have come up with. And I really, anything would be better almost.
Danielle, anything. What do you think?
I do think his name is silly as fuck.
Oh, God.
It is really it silly. Is,
such a bad name.
It's silly as fuck. I am happy he's not fighting The Miz again.
That's a bonus. Yeah.
For their 58-part classic. Dolph is going to lose again. Like, that's... And Dolph, he can't... At a certain point, if you keep losing, you're just a loser. Dolph needs, and so yeah, this would be a great time for him to turn. And I don't even necessarily know if I want AJ to turn. I like AJ just the way that he is, but I like the idea that something happens when they fight and it turns Dolph, and Dolph is like, maybe he doesn't even go after AJ. Maybe he just starts annihilating dudes in the intercontinental scene. I'm down with that.
Right.
But I like the idea that he's like, I finally got my shot. And I'm going to take it. And so he finally like gets his shot and he goes for it and it doesn't happen. And then he just like turns heel or loses his shit or loses his mind. And that's the thing that he's like, I don't care. I'm getting something out of this business. Because how many times can he threaten to quit? How many times can he talk about how things just don't always go your way?
Right.
At a certain point, you have to win. It's no longer like a dude chasing a title because it's like every title for like 7 years. Like, it's no, you know, like, it's, I can't watch a 7-year long, if you had a friend who did anything, and they'd been doing it for that long, and just nothing was happening, and they were miserable, you would be like, maybe get your real estate license. Just have a backup.
I just had a really scary thought, Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
What if he wins?
Wow.
I never even took that into consideration.
Oh, my
God. Nobody does. Nobody
did. So frank with you.
That'd be the ultimate worst swerve ever. I swear.
I would clap for like 2 seconds, and then I would be like, fuck.
I might just turn the TV off right then.
Wow.
Go to sleep. Just go to sleep.
Then smash it with a bat. Right. Some of those reaction videos. Well, obviously, there's plenty of news to talk about today. Be sure to sound off with your opinion about the stories we talked about on Facebook.com/groups/TightsFights. You're listening to Tights and Fights. We'll be back after this.
From the dawn of time, one podcast has unlocked the secrets of science and technology to enrich the lives of billions. And now, after a year where they've unlocked the golden age of knowledge, they're about to hit warp speed and go stratospheric.
Wait, hold up.
On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and we participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and then report our findings to you.
And yes, we've even investigated Scientology.
Shh, Ross, shh. New episodes every month at MaximumFun.org.
Oh No, Ross and Carrie. They show up so you don't have to.
Tides and Bites Podcast. Tides and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and with me as usual to talk about all things wrestling are...
Danielle Radford.
And
Michael Eagle.
Remember this guy?
It's still real to me, damn it! I mean...
Thank Make you. Take it easy, man.
That's a picture. Tiger, he's a bank.
It's still real to me. You're heroes.
Okay, that's a little dramatic, but wrestling intersects with the real world more than almost any other form of entertainment. Provocative real world events often inspire wrestling angles because they've already engaged people's opinion. The hope is that it will translate over to the wrestling ring as well. But is there a line that wrestling just shouldn't touch? That's what we're going to take a look at in this week's main event. To start out, Danielle, has there ever been an angle in wrestling with obvious parallels to real-world events that you think was in poor taste for WWE to entertain?
I mean, I don't know if this is so much like worldwide current events, but that whole like weird post-Eddie death angle, just not, it just never, there was no need for it to be the whole thing of like, you know, Chavo, like you can find plenty of reasons for these dudes to wrestle that had nothing to do with that. And then to bring Vicky in and the, like then to Turner, that just every, that angle will always leave just like a really bad taste in my mouth. Like we all, Eddie is one of the greats. There's a reason why he's going down. He's gone down as one of the greats. That was a case of like, not just like too soon, but just like, did you like, what were you like, were you, could you not think of any other reason why these dudes might fight?
Well, and then when it's done poorly, it comes off as opportunistic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it
is. It's not brilliant, it's opportunistic. Mike, is there an example like that for you?
To me, you know, and this was just one growing up, and at the time, I didn't kind of realize how awful it was, but something whenever it's brought back up, I'm like, oh, this is really bad. But the whole Sergeant Slaughter, Iraqi thing, and then, you know, they started to angle, but then, like, we actually went to war, and people are getting killed, and, like, they kept going. They don't, they, you know, Vince just doesn't know when to quit sometimes, and I think that was a good time to quit. I mean, you know, like, as a nation, we were kind of uncomfortable, you know, even though it was Hogan, it was like, we want a caricature of something far away. We don't want, like, what's happening on CNN right now to necessarily be, you know, involved in our pro wrestling fantasy.
Right.
Yeah, like it's like the perfect way to have done that was the way that when it was like Cena and it was versus Rusev, because we've been had this, even before now, we've been had this weird thing with like Putin and Russia. And so instead of it just straight up being like whatever, you get like Rusev in a tank and it's fun, you know? Like if we wind up going to war to Russia, I highly doubt, or maybe they will, who knows?
Right.
Like, hopefully it's not going to be that same thing of like, well, we're going to do America versus Russia in the ring. It's like, you know, it's, I feel like Vince is constantly trying to do Rocky IV. He's like constantly trying to do that, like America versus whatever, and then everyone feel real good about it in the end. But it's like, that was a movie that was written by like people.
But right.
It was like thought out. Other people read it.
You bring up a good point, though, Danielle, which is that poor taste always feels like it's been a part of wrestling, right? So as you brought up, there was the Sergeant Slaughter turning Iraqi. There was Muhammad Hassan. Then there was even the Zeb Coulter, Jack Swagger becoming heels by preaching Donald Trump's exact
and
platform.
Then faces again.
Yeah. How can WWE do better?
Don't.
Well, but there is value in pulling something that's actually happening.
I think that wrestling is a cartoon Sure. And I think that they are not they are not people who have the gravitas to be able to pull something like that off. I think especially when it's like it would be different if we knew that they like carefully wrote these things out and stuff was thought up like months in advance and blah, blah, blah. And they thought up all the angles and whatever. Like that would be better than what we know that they do, which is they, you know, people do write it week to week, but then it changes at the last minute. And it's like when you're dealing with something sensitive, it has to be more well thought out than just flying by the seat of your pants.
Right.
So, well, then to that point, Mike, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And some would say art imitates life, imitates art. So should WWE be concerned with the idea that a wrestling angle can draw heat that's a little bit too intense?
Absolutely. They
so
should.
You think they should make creative decisions based on that? Like, where are we going? How do we censor ourselves? How do we police ourselves? When are we going too far?
I think it's just easy not to go too far. I think, okay, if we let's put it in terms of Russian gimmicks. There have been Russian gimmicks in wrestling for 50 years, kind of no matter what was going on with USA and Russia. And I think if you introduce a Russian character, there's just always a little bit of basic U.S. xenophobia that exists. You can play off that without having to be too specific. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have somebody coming in and saying, I am an Iraqi sympathizer. I am down with Saddam Hussein. Like, I think, oh, no, that's a little much, you know?
Right.
And I feel like it's easy not to do that, you
but
know?
If it's 1990, the winter of 1990 into the spring, before the invasion, for that first war, and they've been building it up because it's just a story that's happening. There's no actual military action. Then all of a sudden, a war breaks out. So in that case, there was already tension. So they were playing off the tension. Then a war breaks out, which they couldn't have predicted. Then do you put the brakes on? Where do you draw the line there? How do you navigate it?
I think maybe you dial it back a little bit. Once there are people actively killing and dying, I mean, people who might be watching your product, I'm willing to bet there are people who tuned out of WWF then and never came back because that was real to them and their families. Like, and I don't know if... I don't know if you want that kind of heat. I don't know if you want, like, this is really affecting me kind of heat.
Yeah, like, it's... And I wasn't really watching WWE at the time, but, like, for the first Iraq war, like, you know, I was raised military. So, like, my folks, I lived on a military base. And, like, mm-hmm. we had people... and it was a mixed military base, so it was, like, everything, which I don't know if those even happen anymore. But we had people where it would be, like, I would see their dads leave. I would see, you know, I would see all the stuff happen. We would have people who would come and protest on base, and we would have people who would put up yellow ribbons everywhere and all that stuff. And so I think for me, if I was, like, a kid and I was already on base and, like, living in a military town and I was watching it... My mama wouldn't have taken it away from me because she didn't take anything away from me because she worked too much. She like she had a job. But I think that for a lot of people, it probably would have been the point where it's like, yeah, we're not going to watch this thing that's actually affecting your pops right now. Like that might be a little weird.
Right. But then they get their record ratings when women are being pulled naked and people are saying ass and shit. There's just that. There's always going to be a weird double standard around it, I think, in one way or another. And I'm not saying I disagree with you guys, but it's just... I think it's hard to find where the center line is on it. But let me ask a final question. So we've got two people in the upcoming U.S. presidential administration that have each received stunners from Steve Austin.
I'd like to break beer bottles over their heads personally. Let's close the deal.
You know? Fair enough. Well, you have one in your hand.
And I will use it. There we go.
How would you like to see WWE navigate this, and should they even mention those ties
don't
at all?
Don't fuck with it. Please don't talk about it.
Please
don't make me turn the TV off.
Even to get heat?
I mean, I'm telling you, the kind of heat it's going to get with me.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I'm probably out of the Target demo. I mean, I'm a network subscriber, so my dollar is very important to them according to these quarterly finance calls they have to do.
Right.
But I'm not with it. I really don't even want to think about that. I really don't want to think about Donald Trump and how in bed with the WWE he has been and currently is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's already a thing that I'm already like internally
it's stressful.
Wrestling with. Mm-hmm. And so if they start bringing it up as a thing, like it just and I feel like they're smart enough to be like, it's not. Like, there's no mandate there, so there's no reason to be like, at this point, it would, don't remind me that I'm already, like, going through a moral quandary. Right.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
Let me throw in with you guys and say I agree 100%. Wrestling is meant to be an escape, even right. when they choose angles that mirror things that are happening in current events. That's a way to at least tie it to something that's happening and tether it to reality, hopefully, I think, to keep the facade going. So that you go like, oh, wait, is this real? Is this fake? And that worked a little bit better when kayfabe was a bigger deal and the internet didn't exist in the late 80s, early 90s. But it's enough now. Just give us our bliss.
Like,
our
I already,
Alexa bliss.
Twisted bliss.
Like,
Twisted bliss.
We already know that there's people whose opinions we don't agree with who work there. And chill, people have their opinions. But, like, I don't need any kind of, like, retrospective. I don't need to see Linda ever again.
For real. Wheelchair otherwise.
For real.
Good.
All of a sudden, you realize she was the heel at WrestleMania X7.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we'll have three things from the world of wrestling that are decidedly not too real. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Comedy, friendship, and creativity. All of this and more wait for you at Max FunCon. Join us for Max FunCon in Lake Arrowhead next June or Max FunCon East in the Poconos next September. Tickets for both events are on sale now, but they're going fast. Visit MaxFunCon.com to buy your tickets right now.
Tights and Fights Podcast.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Danielle Radford.
And...
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we like to end the show on an upbeat by putting over three things we enjoyed from the wrestling world. This is the three count.
One, two, three. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay. It was more fun to wait for you guys to do that.
You were holding that out like you were Conrad. Bruce Pritchard. Danielle, you're first. What do you want to put over?
Okay, so speaking of hashtag Black Excellence, so there was some pushback from a bunch of people who were like, well, how come I can't say white stuff is excellent? It's like, because that's what history books do.
Hello.
Yeah. But so Kofi wrote a very great response, a very well thought out response on his twit longer.
Goddamn, people have those still.
Completely agree. That's why people be calling you dad, Kofi.
Yeah, just take a picture of your notes like everybody else.
Yeah. Get a blog. So I'll skip around in it, but it's worth but it's long. So it's worth checking out. So the beginning is I'm gonna do it as a Valley Girl, I guess. While much of the feedback has been positive, there have been like a lot of negative response in regard to the picture we posted illustrating Rich, Sasha, Xavier E, and myself wielding our championship titles. Perhaps this is because many are in question of the motivation behind the post. And so then he goes on to talk about how it's not from a place of malice or spite or gloating, but from a place of joy and happiness. And then he says... that it matters because it's hard for some to fathom the fact that there are many people who feel as though it is impossible to attain certain goals because of the color of their skin. And then skipping around again, I'll read the last paragraph because it's great. Excellence is not the same as supremacy. Hashtag Black Excellence is not meant to be divisive. For even if you do not fall into the specific category, you can still take enjoyment in our pride because in the biggest picture, in a society that often focuses on the negative aspect of race relations, what has transpired with the five of us speaks positively to the progress we've made as a nation. Good job, Kofi.
Yay, Kofi.
Yay.
Now start the new nation of domination.
Yes, it's time. Add Sosh.
Add Sosh and Add Rich, man.
And Rich.
Why not? Man. Mike, what about you?
I'm also putting over the internet.
You did it, internet.
The internet did a good job this week. There was a Vice Sports article apparently they had been profiling WWE by talking to top level execs. It seems to be almost for the last couple of years they've been compiling this info. There's interviews in it with Triple H. They talked to a lot of former execs, and then they had a few sources of people who work inside the company that wouldn't reveal themselves. But it painted a very interesting picture of how things are run in the business and how Vince's philosophy of kind of like being in love with a new hire and then suddenly not giving a shit what they have to offer because he's so into changing his mind on the fly, how that informs the current product. And it just kind of generally made sense of everything we see from week to week. And it really also outlined the kind of power struggle that went on and is continuing now between like Shane and Stephanie and Triple H. So if you're a smart mark like me and you like to know way too much information, I recommend this Vice Sports article on the WWE.
And you can find that on our Facebook page. I know somebody shared it there, facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. Great article.
Yeah, really, really good article.
I am the only one who's putting over something from WWE programming, and I'm doing it for something from Raw.
Hello.
Yeah.
Meow, 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 meow. I put my phone away already. During this week's cruiserweight matchup between Aria Daivari and I don't remember who, and it doesn't matter. Don't tell me. Because fact that I can't remember, Lince Dorado, just remember, the fact that I couldn't remember speaks to how poorly they've been booking the division overall. But one guy, my favorite guy from the Cruiserweight Classic, has been held off of TV until 205 Live. It's Jack Gallagher.
Oh, he's so good.
And
so
he interrupted the match by doing the following.
Oh, so good.
Now, as an extraordinary gentleman, I'm here to announce my intention of interfering in this match. Now, whilst I don't usually condone such unsportsmanlike behavior, you, Mr. Daivari, are a scoundrel.
Oh, God. I texted Julian immediately after I saw it, going, I'm putting this over. Immediately, I've never seen that before.
And the
it's
crowd
so meta.
Broke into a scoundrel chant.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't even have to ask them to.
Yep.
That crowd was on it. They did scoundrel. They got grandma. Good job, crowd.
Word.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I can't
Philly,
wait to
man.
See.
Philly.
Philly. Yeah. Philly. Yeah, yeah, of course, Philly.
It's a great wrestling town and the greatest town in the world. We, that does it for this
week. Where are you from, Al?
Oh, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I want you to put it in a bottle. I want you to put it on a shelf. I want you to be able to light a fire under your own butt.
Burn your bottle. I want you to burn that bottle. And don't forget the burning feeling from the fire. Are you burning? Burn. Burn, baby, burn. Oh, my teeth. That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer and secret soldier from beyond the glass is Julian Burrell. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And remember to review us on iTunes. It's a big help, and we need your help to help us grow. So please help. 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 Help.
Help.
Help. Help. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.